بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سافر فأقبل الليل قال: يا أرض، ربي وربك الله، أعوذ بالله من شرك وشر ما فيك وشر ما خلق فيك وشر ما يدب عليك، أعوذ بالله من شر أسد وأسود، ومن الحية والأقرب، ومن ساكن البلد، ومن والد وما ولد. رواه أبو داود. This hadith, we began the discussion yesterday. Just to reiterate, we are dealing with the chapter when one has to make a stopover, particularly on a journey, then what is the dua that one should recite. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally in those days the journey was fraught with danger. There were all sorts of possibilities of things that could harm. So generally we find that these du'as or adi'iyah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught were those for protection. And not only these du'as are such that they are, some of them are general, comprehensive, like the previous hadith, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَمَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ, that not only on a journey, but part of our daily du'as for protection, we can include or incorporate them. Some are, as we see in the meaning of this particular du'a, specific to the circumstance or condition or existential things that can occur during one's journey. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would be on a journey and nightfall would descend, then Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite this dua: O earth, ya earth, Rabbi wa Rabbukilla, my Rabb, Rabb, sustainer, nourisher, provider, my Rabb and your Rabb is Allah. I seek protection in Allah from your evil and the evil that is contained within you. A'udhu billahi min shadrika wa shadima fika. وَشَرِّ مَا خُلِقَ فِيكَ, and the evil which has been created within you. وَشَرِّ مَا يَدِبُّ عَلَيْكَ, and the evil of all that creeps upon you. Up to this point we discussed yesterday. The dua continues, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَرِّ أَسَدٍ وَأَسْوَدٍ, I seek protection in Allah from the evil of a lion. Lion here would mean a dangerous animal, specifically lion, as there was a possibility that an attack by a lion can occur in those days. But as we mentioned, it will have a general meaning, lion or any other form of dangerous large animal. Then we find the word in the dua, aswad, I seek protection from the black thing. Literally, the word aswad means black. Ulama have generally given it a connotation to mean a large snake. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to seek protection from the evil of a snake. In other words, a poisonous, venomous snake that can cause some injury or some harm. Ulama ikram have mentioned that this word aswad can also mean evil of an oppressor, or it can mean an open sinner. So it doesn't have to have just a literal meaning, but can have a more comprehensive meaning. One of the sharihin, commentators of hadith, have mentioned, نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْحَيَّ أَسْوَدُ اللَّوْنِ, refers to a type of snake that was black in color, that was well known as being something of danger in that time. وَمِنَ الْحَيَّةِ وَالْأَقْرَبِ, and I seek protection in Allah from the snake and the scorpion. Now we see, generally, part of what we call eloquent speech is that sometimes when you seek protection, when you speak about something, then in that sentence or in that expression, we find that something is mentioned in a general sense and then it is mentioned in a specific sense. This is in order to highlight certain things. For example, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I seek protection, ma yadibbu alayk, from everything that creeps upon you, creeps upon the earth. And I seek protection from a lion, and I seek protection from a large snake. Now, yadibbu alayk, that which creeps upon the earth. Snakes creep upon the earth. Scorpions creep upon the earth. So, generally, all these types of dangers are already mentioned in the dua. Then we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned certain things that are already covered in the dua in a general sense. As I mentioned, this is one of the aspects of what we call eloquent speech, where certain things are highlighted. Now in that zamana, in that time or that period, there was a very, very real danger of an attack by a snake or an attack by scorpions. Scorpions biting, etc. So this is why, despite the fact that these dangers are already covered in the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specific mention is made of them. وَمِن سَاكِنِ الْبَلَدِ, I seek protection in Allah from the resident of the land. This is literal translation. سَاكِنِ الْبَلَدِ means resident of the land. Ulama ikram say in this context it refers to the jinnat. So I seek protection in Allah from the jinnat. وَمِن وَالِدْ وَمَا وَلَدْ, and I seek, now literal translation, from the father and his children. Walid means father, walad means offspring. So I seek protection from the father and his offspring. So which father is referred to here? Here ulama ikram mentioned that this refers to shaitan. One is the main shaitan, iblis if you want to call it, wama walad, and the other shayateen, who are the offspring of iblis. Interesting point, the Shariheen or the commentators of hadith have mentioned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have just said, I seek protection min iblis wa junudi, from iblis and his army, or from the shayateen, wa min ash-shaytanir rajim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have mentioned shaytan specifically. Why say walid wa ma walad, father and his offspring? In this, ulama ikram have mentioned, like I said, a very interesting point. They say, فِي إِمَاءٌ بِأَنَّ الْعِيَاذِ إِنَّمَا يَحِقُّ وَيُفِيدْ إِذَا كَانَ بِمَنْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. You are asking for whose protection and from what? You are asking for Allah's protection. And what is the quality of Allah? لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah does not beget, nor was He begotten. Allah is free of children. Allah is free of offspring. So, what is this? This is ishara, indication, like I said, eloquent speech, and a very beautiful manner of invoking the power of Allah Ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I seek protection from the evil of the one who has offspring, from that being who does not have offspring, who is above all this. Lam yalid, walam yulad, walam, he doesn't have any defect. He doesn't have any shortcoming. He doesn't have any dependence whatsoever. I am seeking protection from that Allah, from that shaitan who in reality is weak when compared to Allah. Shaitan has offspring. Shaitan has these defects. Shaitan has this weakness. Ya Allah, you are above all that. So this is why this nuance of this expression, walid wa ma walad. Just to reiterate the dua, very, very comprehensive dua. One important point which we touched on yesterday in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this lesson of yaqeen, this lesson of conviction. Negate everything and establish the qudrat of Allah. Ya Allah, it is only you, it is only you, it is only you. This is what we find. Ya Arb, Rabbi wa Rabbukilla, A'udhu billahi min shadrika wa shadri ma fiq. My Rabb, your Rabb is Allah. You are the controller of everything. This general overriding establishment of the Qudrat of Allah and negation of everything besides Allah, this is an overriding theme that we find in the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they should be read keeping that in front, and they should be read with that conviction. So just to repeat the dua, Ya Ard, O Earth, Rabbi wa Rabbukillah, my Rabb and your Rabb is Allah. A'udhu billahi min sharrika wa sharri ma fiqh. I seek protection in Allah from your evil and the evil that is contained within you. Wa sharri ma khuliqa fik, and the evil that is created within you. Wa sharri ma yadibbu alayk, and the evil that creeps upon you. A'udhu billahi min sharri asadin wa aswad. I seek protection in Allah from the lion and the snake. Wa min al-hayyati wal aqrab, and from the snake and the scorpions. Wa min sakin al-balad, and from the jinnat. Wa min walid wa ma walad, and from shaitan and his progeny. Babu istihbab ta'jil al-musafir fi ar-ruju' ila ahlihi idha qada hajatahu. The next chapter Imam Nawawi rahimullah brings, the heading is the desirability of a musafir hastening in returning back to his family. Idha qada hajatahu, once the objective of his journey has been achieved. This we learn in Shariat. Our maskan, our protection is our home. Try and spend as less time as possible outside. In other words, unnecessary journeys, unnecessary extending or elongating of that journey in Shariat is not something that is advised. Why? As we'll see when we go into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person has certain basic fundamental rights that are attached to his home and his family. For example, his parents. Parents, Shariat abrogates birrul walidain, showing kindness and affection to them, making their khidmat and their service. When you absent yourself and you're going out on a journey, that journey generally could be for some worldly reason. If it is for some worldly reason, then you are depriving yourself of this opportunity of the khidmat and service of your parents. So in other words, don't unnecessarily extend or elongate that journey. Likewise, it comes to your wife. Wife is what? There is tahseen, protection of one's chastity when one is in the home with the wife. When you go outside, obviously there are fitan, and there's attraction of looking at the haram, etc. There is attraction towards breaking Allah Ta'ala's command. Whereas in the home, this protection is there. So try and return back as quick as possible. Likewise, when it comes to your wife, there are certain shari'i demands. For example, her tarbiyat, ensuring that that you assist her, that her life is on deen, etc. When you are going out on a journey, especially if it's for worldly reasons, you are absenting yourself from these opportunities. So the Shariat says, or advocates, don't lengthen the journey unnecessarily. Likewise, when it comes to one's children, نَحْنُ مَسْؤُولُ, we are answerable to Allah Ta'ala, أَنْ تَعْدِيبِهِمْ وَوِقَايَتِهِمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah commands you, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O people of Iman, save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. Daily in your home, Allah's command, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. So there are certain commands of Shariat, tarbiyat of your children, tarbiyat of your families, being a spiritual guide, being a murabbi in your home. So when a person goes on a journey, this does not refer to journey for deen. This is journey for dunya, or some vacation, some holiday, or some unnecessary journey. Or maybe it's a necessary journey, he's going for business. Don't unnecessarily extend your absence from home. Shariat teaches us that. Why? Because within the home there are certain shari'i responsibilities that we have to our parents, to our children, to our wives, etc. That by absenting ourselves and being away from the home, we are not going to be able to fulfill these responsibilities. And if a person is in a habit, like you find a lot of people, they are in a habit now of going for fishing and going for unnecessary activities. You hear gone fishing, gone hunting, all sorts of things, which are totally beyond the purview of being necessity. Look at the number of, the extent of nuksan and harm that is being caused in the home as a result of your unnecessarily absenting yourself. So Shariat addresses this. Coming back to the heading, we've run out of time. The desirability of a musafir hastening his return back to his family. إِذَا قَضَى حَاجَتَهُ, once the purpose and objective of his journey has been realized. Allah gives tawfiq subhanahu wa ta'ala.